Let's turn back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We've been looking at this just and devout man named Simeon, one that the Lord had promised by His Holy Spirit that he was not going to see death until he saw physically the Lord's Christ. And of course, he did. The Lord directed that man into the temple and brought the child Jesus before this man, Simeon. And Simeon knew him. He knew it. God's people know him. They know him. People say, have you ever seen him? No, not with these eyes. Not with these corporal eyes. Not these physical eyes. But I've seen him by faith. The seeing eye. The hearing ear. God's people know when he's beheld by faith. They know when they hear the gospel of God's free grace. They know it. And they just rejoice. Bless God. Praise him. Mary and Joseph brought in the Lord Jesus, and he took him up in his arms. And it says that he blessed God. You know, there was something else there that I didn't bring up, but just I'd like to. He blessed God. It said, Father, Son, Spirit. The Father who chose a people from before the foundation of the world. He blessed the Son who was made flesh, the Word. And he blessed the Spirit of God, Father, Son, Spirit, God, Triune, Jehovah. He blessed Jehovah. Father, I bless your holy name, you that chose me unto salvation. I bless the Son who is my Redeemer. You think about what Simeon knew, that this was his Redeemer. Job knew that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Bless the Spirit of God that had taught him. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Lord, let me leave this world now forgiven. You know, you say, well, didn't he know that before? Absolutely. But let me ask you this. Is there any sweeter request that any forgiven saint of God would have? Forgiven right now, but in the moment of your departure, is there any sweeter request? Lord, let me now leave forgiven. Lord, let me now leave with no guilt to answer for. Lord, let me now enter into your presence, absent from this body and present with the Lord. Let me leave this world now clean, washed white in the precious blood of the Lamb. Here's the reason. Verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've seen thy salvation. You know, Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 52:10, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That is to say, all the ends of the earth shall see by faith, for sure. God's sheep shall surely see the salvation of God. They're going to see Him. You that believe, as I said, you see Him now. You see Him. You see Him by faith. Simeon saw Him by faith, and he saw Him physically. He saw Him. He looked on Him. Peter said, we saw Him. John said, I saw Him. Peter said, I was with Him. I was with Him on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw Him. I saw Him ascend into heaven. I heard two angels say to me, that's what Scripture, Men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus, the same one you're looking at right now. See, the one received up into the clouds, he's going to come back just like that. He's coming back. As we said before, there's a man, the God-man. There's a man sitting on the throne of God. You know why? He's God. He's God and he's man. Totally God, totally man. Not half and half. Not half and half. Totally God, totally man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We can't explain that. I can't explain the fullness that God Almighty would be made flesh. As we said last Sunday, I believe, when we looked at that burning bush, the fire that was there in that bramble bush and the bush wasn't consumed, that flesh could be prepared him and it wouldn't be consumed. With the glory of God, mine eyes has seen thy salvation. Thy salvation. Not hoping. Not just hoping to save his people, but the one who seeks and saves his people. You remember this. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. God chose to show mercy, chose a people. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in him from before the foundation of the world. Christ redeemed God's elect. That's John 10:15. Who did he die for? If you say he died for the sins of the whole world, you've misquoted. He said, John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. And you say, well, yeah, but if somebody believes, don't they become a sheep? No. Mm-mm. He looked at those Pharisees and he told them, he said, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. That's the reason you don't believe. You're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. I know them. I know them. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. David said in Psalm 85:7, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. God gives salvation. And I'll tell you how he does it. He does it just like he does and did Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus had letters of authority in his hand. He's going to go to the temple there and he's going to get all that's of the way that were, you know, believing this Jesus of Nazareth. He's going to take them bound back to Jerusalem. He's going to get them. I'm going to get them. How did God save him? He offered Saul of Tarsus, you know, asked him to exercise his free will and you know, give him his heart and wanting to save him. No, no. What did he do? He said a bright light shone about him. He stopped him. He said, Saul! Saul! And Saul, a religious man, said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, the one you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And Almighty God gave that man a new heart. It's like he did Lydia, opened his heart, gave him a new one. He granted, that's what he says, grant us thy salvation. God's not a beggar. God's not a beggar. God doesn't beg men to give him their life. Stops them. And he gives them. He said, I'm going to show mercy to you. And he shows mercy to a man, a woman, and gives them a new heart. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. And he tells them about it. Tells them what he did. After the fact. After the fact. He tells them, I've shown you mercy. Mercy that we did not deserve. Lord, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a sinner needs is a Savior. I am hopelessly impotent spiritually of myself, and you too. I can do nothing. I can do nothing. People say, well, you know, if you give your heart to some... Listen, let me tell you something. Listen to me. You know what God Almighty is going to accept? Let me tell you what God's going to accept. Holiness. Holiness. Somebody say, well, I exercised my free will. Was it an exercise in absolute holiness? Holiness. It better have been holy, and it better have been, you better have been holy before you ever did it. And you better have been holy ever since you did it. You better be able to stand before God and say, I have done everything as perfectly as God. Now let me ask you this. Who's going to stand before God and claim to have done perfectly? Perfectly. No, my friend. Let me tell you, I'll tell you what I need. I need His salvation. I need for God Himself to come in this world as my representative. I need for Almighty God Himself to live before God obediently. I need for God to say to me, well done. How's that going to be? Only in a substitute. I need for Him to do for me what I cannot do for myself. I need for Him to live for me and die for me. I need for God Almighty as a man like me. I need to have all of my guilt transferred to Him. I need for God Almighty in absolute wrath. I need for God to deal with my sin and put it away as far as the east is from the west. I need for God to put it behind His back. I need for God to forget it. And I can't do that. I can't do that. Let me tell you something. If you're standing here and trusting in something that you've done, whatever it is, whatever you've done, walked down the aisle, got baptized, took the Lord's Supper, prayed through, read the Bible. I had a man tell me the other day, he said, I've read this Bible cover to cover. I haven't. I'm trying. But I cannot say that I've read every word of this Bible, but I'll tell you this. As I study the Scriptures, seek God's direction, guidance, I know this. I need His salvation. I need God to show mercy to me for Christ's sake. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Look at this. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Which thou hast prepared. Now let me tell you what he's saying right here. When I tell you what he said, you'll say, well, that's consistent. That's consistent with what I know. Which God has prepared, which he has provided, that's what the word says, which he's made ready. You remember when Scripture says, a body hast thou prepared me. A body, a human body. Hast thou prepared me? God Almighty made a body, a flesh body for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He inhabits now. According to God's eternal purpose and decree, the Lord Jesus Christ was appointed, chosen, to be God's salvation, which He willingly stood as the surety of God's sheep. A body was prepared Him in time. And the Spirit of God moved upon a virgin, Mary. And in her womb was actually conceived a child. A baby. This holy thing, the Scripture refers to Him as. A body was prepared Him. A body was made Him. And the Word Himself was personified before men. I mean, we looked at Him. They looked at Him. As I said a moment ago, John, Peter, and those apostles said, I saw Him. I looked at Him. I touched Him. He said, touch me. Touch me. Here, Thomas, here, put your hand right here on my side. Touch me. I'm not a spirit. I'm real. I'm a man. God man. A body was prepared. This is what Simeon was saying. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared, personified, which you've brought into this world. Lord, it caused us to look. Thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He was made flesh before the face of all people. He was revealed in mercy and power to all of His people out of all the nations and kindred and tribes and tongues. God was pleased to show Him God's Spirit. How are we going to see a Spirit? Well, that Spirit is going to have to be prepared. He's going to have to be set forth and made to be seen, personified. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Men by nature are born spiritually dead. You know that. You know that. Man by nature is in the darkness of sin and unbelief. And here the Spirit of God reveals through this man Simeon that Almighty God has eternally been pleased to save His people and send the light Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, to send for Jew and Gentile, all of His people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. God has a people, and they're everywhere. Can God save a heathen out of this country or this country? Absolutely. He saved me, saved you. Almighty God's going to save His elect. Here Simeon is saying that the Lord has now revealed openly that He in time is going to absolutely call His people out of darkness. The light. You have prepared before the face of all the people a light. And the Lord Jesus Christ revealed Himself to be that light. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, Jew and Gentile. Not everybody. You know that. I want to qualify every time, and you know that. Not every person. Not every person out of the world, because He wouldn't pray for the world. I pray not for the world. That John 17:9. I pray for those that You've given me out of the world. Go back and read that. Does He pray for everybody? No. No. How do you know? He said He didn't. I pray not for the world, but for those that You've given me out of the world. That's the ones I'm praying for. That's the ones I'm going to save. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light, the revelation of life. Verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Not because they didn't believe what he was saying. They were marveling, not because they didn't believe what he said, but because they did believe it. Here was the marvelous thing. They knew the same things. They knew the same thing. They knew that this was the Son of God. They knew that. Well, how did they know it? Well, Look at Luke. Just turn back a page to Luke 1:35. How did Mary know who he was? Well, the Lord's angel told her. Luke 1:35, the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." She knew who he was. She knew exactly who he was. At his birth, the angels sang, "Hosanna, praise God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to man." This day, the city of David is born Christ, the Lord. These shepherds heard that. And Mary, they came there to see it, and they knew it. But look at Luke 2:19. Let me tell you what was, while all this was going on, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Doesn't say that she went around, you know, going to her neighbors. And I don't know if you know who this baby is, but oh no. What she kept all those things in her heart and pondered, mused on them, thought upon them, just meditated upon them. And the scripture says when Simeon was proclaiming, she walked in with the child Jesus in her arms. And Simeon walked up to her and took the baby in his arms. And the scripture said, and he blessed God. He was praying, "Lord, let us thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Mary was listening to what he was saying. And she knew that. But how did you know it? That's what she marveled over. How did you know that? How did you know that? I tell you how he knew it. Same way she knew it. God had revealed it to her, to Simeon. She marveled. She marveled that God would reveal to that man, that stranger, no record she'd ever met him before. Simeon, a man named Simeon. And she marveled at the revelation that God had given that man. It's a marvel that any of us know the same thing. But I'll tell you what. You meet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't care where he is or where she is, you meet a believer, one that God has taught, and you know what they believe? They believe just exactly what this believer believes. Same thing. Same thing. And you listen to that speech. You listen to the things they're saying concerning the glory of God, and they don't talk about themselves and what they've done and how faithful they've been. They talk about him. What did Simeon say about himself here that had any significance at all? Nothing. He blessed God. "Mine eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared him before the face of all the people. He is the light." Light. She marveled at that. And scripture says in verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them." Not that Simeon had the power to bless. No. What he did is he pronounced them to be blessed of the Lord. "Simeon blessed them, and he said unto Mary his mother, Behold," here's a miracle of God's grace. Now I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God revealed to this man that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord's Christ. He revealed to this man that when Mary and Joseph brought in the Christ Jesus, he revealed to him who he was. He revealed to him who he was. God's salvation. He knew that God had taught him these things. He's taught by the Spirit of God. And now he prophesies. He's going to prophesy something that there's no way in the world that he could have known what he's about to say unless God had taught him this. And he says this, Simeon blessed him, and he said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child. Or actually, child is in italics, so it's actually, behold this. The Lord himself is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now let me tell you what he just said. He just said that God Almighty is sovereign. He's sovereign in salvation, sovereign in providence, sovereign in creation. He's sovereign. But especially, he just said God Almighty is sovereign in salvation. Look what he said. Behold, this is set for the fall and for the rising again of many in Israel. Here's this blessed one right here is set. He's appointed. That's what set means. He's appointed and he's made to be for the fall, that is to be a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to many. That's what he's saying. This right here, this is set to be a rock of offense. Some are going to look upon him and they're going to say, I'm not going to have this man rule over me. And they're going to fall. Eventually, they're dead now. But they're eventually going to be cast out of his sight. He's going to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense for many. But he says also, but he's also going to be a rising again of many. To some, this one right here, this Christ, this the Lord's salvation, is going to be a precious cornerstone, a foundation to all that Almighty God shall surely call unto himself. And he shall, to all that God has been pleased to give to this one, all that the Father eternally chose in this one right here, God's salvation, in this one right here is found all of God's elect. This man was holding in his arms the revelation, the one prepared that revealed all of the fullness of God's will and God's purpose. Can you imagine? This one right here. He's set for fall and rising again of many in Israel. Can you imagine this man held in his hands by God's good pleasure the entirety of God's salvation and all in him? He just lost in the wonder that this one that he held is the Christ. This one right here, he's going to be set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. He's going to be a mark. There's going to be a ridicule. He's going to be shot at, hated and despised. His deity is going to be denied. His sovereignty is going to be opposed. His word and miracles are going to be called sinful. Man doing this by Beelzebub. Nobody can do it. Beelzebub, a devil did that too. That's what I'm saying. This man right here, he's going to be for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, verse 35, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I'm sure that after he grew up and revealed himself to be who he is, so much is not written of his childhood, but when his earthly ministry commenced, I'm sure that Mary saw and felt the pain as she saw him and heard the ridicule of this one. Truly, his mother, by the implanting of that holy seed by the Spirit of God, but this is her Lord. This was her Lord. Mary knew, if she knew God, this is her Lord. It's her God. It's her Savior. That's who He is. I'm sure she heard, knew of all the ridicule, but especially, he said, a sword going to pierce through thine own soul. She saw him on the day of his crucifixion, hanging, and heard him say to Peter, you know, heard him say to her, "Woman, behold your son. The suffering is going to take for you." Told Peter, go take her. Take care of her. Sword going to pierce through thine own soul also. And here's the reason. And she saw him hanging on that cross that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That means that all that shall suffer shall be revealed. All that he suffered is going to be revealed to show the difference between God's chosen and a reprobate. This that he's doing, dying and putting away the sin of his people, that all the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. God Almighty is going to reveal what every man, every woman thinks of Christ. It's going to be revealed. In that day, maybe not in this life, but I'm telling you, this life is just, once this life is over, then the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, then we're going to stand before God. The preaching of the glorious gospel of God's free grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, sovereign grace in Christ, electing, redeeming, regenerating grace for God's particular people. I said this, God has a people that He's always loved. He's chosen, placed them eternally in Christ. Christ has redeemed them. And He died on that cross, and His death is going to be the merit, going to be the foundation of Almighty God justly judging all men according to that man, Christ Jesus, according to these Scriptures right here. Almighty God's going to do that which is right. Simeon saw Him that day, and he blessed God. He said, "Let me now leave in peace. Mine eyes have seen your salvation." I pray this morning. I know that his arm is not shortened, that he can't save. I know he can't. I pray God bless these words to the hearts of his people, comfort of his people, and the salvation of his elect. I pray that God have mercy upon us for Christ's sake.